Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Why is it important to study and learn about the land of Israel? Because in doing so, we learn that our God is a promise-keeping God. Therefore, we can believe His promise to give His children, that are saved by His grace through faith in Jesus Christ, will receive eternal life and an eternal inheritance as joint heirs with Christ. Please listen as Pastor Ray Viola concludes his study of chapters 15 through 19 of the book of Joshua.
How about a little bit of millennium rest? You guys could look like you could use that right now. There's a prophecy of a millennial kingdom where there will be no more wars, and the nations of the world are going to come to the city of Jerusalem where they are going to worship in a rebuilt third Jewish temple that I will speak about in a minute. Isaiah chapter 2 says, the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days. So this had to be after Jesus came, right? That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Now, this is in the millennium. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he, the God of Jacob, will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, the paths of the God of Jacob. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The Lord is going to do this, not man, not the United Nations. Every time we get our ugly mitts into any of these skirmishes, we only spread the war. Christ is going to set up a kingdom where there will be no more wars. Won't that be beautiful? Ezekiel 36. Now let's go back to some other prophecy in Ezekiel. Also, thou son of man, verse 1, prophesy unto the mountains of where? And say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy has set against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Let me give you reference to one of the high places that the nations claim to be theirs and not Israel's. Ever hear of the Golan Heights? It is going to be, or it was, a biblical city of refuge. Well, many of you know this, but Syria had laid claim to the Golan Heights. But in the miraculous victory of the Jews by the grace of God in the 1967 Day War, they recaptured the Golan Heights. They didn't take it away from Syria. They just recaptured what God gave to them. Now, that was not internationally recognized. And the international community has condemned the capture and deemed it to be illegal, which is a cause of a little bit of tension. But we're going to see who finally gets the last word. Guess who? Guess who? Yeah. Well, let's read in verse 3 of Ezekiel 36. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you, the mountains of Israel, desolate, and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and you are taken up in the lips of talkers, and are an infamy of the people. So there is going to be, in the end times, as we will see, an incredible heightened rise of anti-Semitism, like never before. Even paling Germany and Hitler's onslaught. Okay? So you better, and I better buckle our seatbelts. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God in verse 5, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Exterminate the Jews. Exterminate the lands. Sound familiar? Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, because I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen, therefore thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand, surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall show forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. They're coming. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the cities shall be inhabited, and the wastes shall be built, and I will multiply you, man upon you, man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginning. Your oldest, and you shall know that I am the Lord. For those of you that have been to Israel, that's a great exporter of fruit, right? Man, it is just a beautiful land. Did you know that from 70 AD until they came back to the land in 1948, it was pretty much a swamp? But God said, when my people touch foot in my land, they're going to till the land, they're going to plow the land. They export flowers to Holland. They are one of the greatest exporters of fruit in the whole world. If you go there, it's beautiful. There's a lot of rocks there, but it's just simply beautiful. In fact, they love it when it rains. Remember, I read the scripture about the rain of heaven? If you've gone to Israel, when it rains, the Jews celebrate, they dance. The tourists go, oh, I paid all of this money to come here. Because God waters his garden that way and causes it to bring forth fruit, just like he said he would. Isn't that amazing? In Joel chapter 3, verse 1, for behold, in those days and at that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations. All nations, including the United States of America, all nations, there's going to be a heightened sense of anti-Semitism. And as much as it grieves me to say this, there's going to be a time when there's going to be in the White House some determination to cut off Israel. All nations will be gathered and will bring them down into the Valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for what? My people, and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Jehoshaphat means Yahweh judges. And here, what we see in chapter 3 is a judgment that is going to come upon all nations in what Joel calls multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And you know why they're invading the land there? Because they do not agree with the biblical record of the boundaries that God gave to Israel. So they decided, we're going to come and we're going to settle the score. But someone's going to intervene. And you know who that someone is. It's the Lord. Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the burden of Zechariah 12, listen to this. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretches out forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. The burden of Zechariah primarily focuses in the final siege of Jerusalem and God's judgment on the nations that have attacked Judah. And so the ownership of the city of Jerusalem is going to be a cause of great conflict in the world. Is that happening today? You bet. It's happening right now. There's really no comment necessary. But, so who's going to intervene? Zechariah 14, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh when thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations, how many? Against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and the half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, on the Mount of, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south, and you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel, yea, you shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with him. There, we're going to come and see this. Where is he going to land? The Rockies? And what we have described here is at the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of the great consummative battle at the end of time, the Battle of Armageddon. Imagine all the military hardware surrounded around the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus says, enough! Comes back and he lands on the Mount of Olives. Praise God. He who roars last roars best. And we're just going to be standing behind him and go, good job, Lord. Because he's not going to need our help. And by the way, he never needs our help. We need his help. Okay. All right. Number 7. Why is the city of Jerusalem so important to the Jewish people? Well, because it's important to God. And anything that's important to God should be important to us, don't you think? Whatever he deems as holy or sacred or important, we should deem holy and sacred and important. We should align our heart with the Bible when it comes to any area, current events or anything. We want our heart to be aligned with God's heart and God's mind and God's way of thinking and God's way of seeing things. And I can assure you that the more we do that in the end days, we will not be the majority. Deuteronomy 12:5, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and there you shall come. The place where he shall choose. And the place that he chose was the city of Jerusalem. Ever since the holy temple was built on that mountain, known as Mount Moriah or the Temple Mount, as a, you know, the set of mountains, Jerusalem has been embraced as the eternal capital of the Jewish people. We know from the scriptures that Jerusalem was the site of the first and second temple, and it will be the site of the third temple that is going to be built. The second temple, well, the first temple stood for 410 years until it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. The second temple was completed in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, and the returnees from Babylon exiled in the year of about 3412. That's the Hebrew year. But it was destroyed by the Romans. But the Bible tells us that there's a temple in Ezekiel chapter 40 through 47. There's a temple that's going to be built. And this temple, if you study, read those who have really done their homework, that have mapped it out, the blueprint. This third temple will be, you talk about the temple and the temple land proper, will be 36 times larger than the area of the temple as we know it from the second temple. That's interesting. Now, if any of you have been to Israel, you know that there is a place over there that just slips my mind. Where's the place? Thank you, Frank. I knew Frank would come through. The Temple Institute. If you've been to Israel, you go to Temple Institute. It's run by some Orthodox rabbis who believe that Ezekiel 40 through 47 is talking about a temple that is going to be built. And so they have put together all of the furniture, all of the hardware. They've put together the candlestick, everything. Okay, they've got the ashes of the red heifer. They have everything. They have everything that is ready to go. There's only one thing that is lacking. That's a problem. Because the place where the temple is going to be built means that it's going to rub the Arabs the wrong way on the Temple Mount. And they know that the day that they choose to go to that Temple Mount and start to build, they know it will cause World War III. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Did you know that today is Jerusalem Day? Today is Jerusalem Day, where the Jews are celebrating how 55 years ago, when they, against all odds, recaptured the eastern city of Jerusalem, and the Jewish army walked in, and there's a picture of the three men looking at the city walls and said, "We've never seen anything as beautiful in all of our lives. A dream has come true." Well, the last year, a couple years, they have been forbidden to walk through the holy city carrying the Israeli flags. This is by the Israeli government. Today, they're going to do it. Yeah. In spite of the fact that they were warned that there could be consequences. For who? For them. So stay tuned. All right, I know what you're thinking. Yes, God's in control. Thank you. That's not what I was thinking, but thank you for letting us know what you were thinking, and we agree with that. So you're probably thinking, okay, what does this have to do with you and me? Well, everything. You see, because the Lord set borders, boundaries for the land of Israel. And one day he is going to keep that promise and give them every square inch of land that he promised he would give them. He is going to do that. And the United Nations isn't going to have a vote. No other people are going to have a vote. God, the sovereign God, is going to do that. So what's the connection for you and me? Well, the Lord also appoints the bounds of our earthly existence in space and time. And there is a border for your life and my life. There was a day when you came into this world, and there's a day when you are going to leave it. And Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." The statistics on human death are staggering. One out of every person dies. But God says to those who look for him, who's him? Jesus. The one who once bore our sins, who look for him, he shall appear without sin unto salvation. You know what that means? For those of us who repent of our sin and trust in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and the cross for our sin debt, this same covenant-keeping God tells us, if you believe in my Son, if you believe that he died on the cross and that he rose again from the dead, he said in 1 John 2:25, this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. I will give you eternal life. Hebrews 9:15 says, and for this cause he is the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called, how are you called? By the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So God has promised to you and I who have repented of our sin and received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He says, I've given unto you eternal life. I've given you an eternal inheritance. But you know, there is a place that God has prepared for you and me. Jesus told the disciples in the upper room In John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where you're going, and how can we know the way? I like Thomas. He's been taught by Jesus for 3 years, who's told him who he is, where he's going, and he says, who are you and where are you going? So some of us are slow learners. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way to God. I am the truth of God. I am the life of God. I am the way to that place. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. You know why that is so good news to you and me? I look around this room and I see a lot of sorrow, a lot of tears, a lot of disappointment, a lot of hurt, a lot of heartbreak. But you know what, beloved? This world is not our home. Wherever God's lot is for you and I on this earth, it's to be a missionary and it's to be a witness for Jesus Christ. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. We all have hopes, we all have dreams, we all have desires, don't we? And thank God for the blessings that he gives us. But there's always that something inside of us that says, but wait a minute, there's something lacking. Our home and all of our hopes and all of our dreams and all of our desires are going to be fulfilled in that new heaven and that new earth where we will live forever with our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not until we enter into glory, beloved, that we will know why eyeballs were made. Where we will know what ears were made for. We're going to get there. That's where we are headed. And yeah, life is tough. Life is difficult. But the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that he has prepared for us. The best is yet to come. So why are we here? What are we doing here? We're here for a purpose. And that purpose every day is to be a witness for Jesus Christ, is to be salt, is to be light, is to stand for him and to share this good news with a world that may not want to hear it, but for those who do, praise God. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never embraced Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've never repented of your sin and trusted him. You can know today that if you believe that he died on the cross for your sin, that he was buried and rose again from the dead on the third day, and if you call out to him and say, Lord Jesus, from your own heart, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I have no hope, I need forgiveness. If you call out to him today, you can be saved. He'll give you a new heart. He'll put that hope in you. He'll put that life in you. Praise God for that. We're going home. We're going home. We're going home. But until that time, make every day count for Jesus. Love those around you. Serve others. Live your life to please only one. Because if you don't please him, it doesn't matter who else you please. Jesus Christ is the gospel. In the midst of all of the craziness and all of the confusion and all of the heartache and all of the heartbreak and all of the pain and all of the sorrow, we have good news. That good news is Jesus.
Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.